Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend John Munger.
I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle, and you are listening to the podcast where the two of us recreate Wikipedia off the top of our heads in an audio format. Woo.
Yeah. Each week we either get a suggestion from the internet or just organically talking about why people say dildo at improv shows, like last week.
Indeed. Before we get started, this week's episode of the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast is brought to you by fans.
I like that you Kaiser Soze these. Like your eyes just dart around the room.
Fans, for when you have to move air, but you don't have a better way to do it. Fans,
using the Bernoulli principle to make your air cooler since 18... 40. The year 18 is when they figured it out. They're like, let's cool this place down.
Use promo code ImprovWikiPod at checkout and save 40%. So what do we got?
Deal on fans.
That's a hell of a deal on fans.
Well, to find out what we got from you, my friend.
Because you made posts?
I did make posts.
Okay. So you were asking for a suggestion. Yeah. What did you ask people for?
I thought it would be fun. I asked them for a game they want to know more about.
Okay.
No one said chess.
I was really trying to make that happen, Glenn.
I was really hoping.
Go home and record an 8-hour bonus episode by yourself, man.
Oh, I will.
All right. So you need a random number between.
I'm going to eliminate some of these because I've they're just words that don't mean anything. So, like, Jason Brown suggested yarts, but. That's just a word. That's not even a word.
I think that's like lawn darts, like yard darts. Yarts. But it's eliminated because I know.
It's eliminated because I don't know what it is. It might be that. But also we did one from Jason a couple weeks ago.
All right.
Give me a number between 1 and 6.
6.
Ooh, you're nasty. I should have said 5.
You didn't, though.
Yarts is the one. All right.
You're visibly displeased with this topic.
Megan Wills of the the Charm City Comedy Project.
Okay. Some Baltimore love, right?
Some Baltimore love. Right. I did that festival last year. It was very fun. I had a wonderful time down there at Zizimo's.
Yeah. Shout out to Baltimore. I have had some great times at the Baltimore Improv Group. Terry Withers had me down there for a show once. Baltimore got a lot of good comedy stuff going on. Check it out.
Keep it tight, Baltimore.
Yeah. But Megan seems to have suggested something you don't appreciate.
This is a crying game. It's not a game. It's a movie, I think, game in the title.
Yeah. So, all right, The Crying Game.
I'm pretty sure it's a movie that's probably based on a book because it came out in the 70s where every movie was a book first.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, everything comes back. We're in that same kind of cycle right now where every movie is a book too.
Yeah. But I've never seen, I don't know what it is. I don't either,
but that's okay. We're making this up.
All right.
Take a deep breath.
Okay. See, this is what I thought the show would be more of.
Yeah.
When we started it, it would just be
stuff we don't know.
A thing, and we have no, because a lot of the times it's been like, oh, do Skyscraper. Well, I know a surprising amount about Skyscraper, yeah. So let's tackle this subject.
Right, right. Well, The Crying Game.
So
right?
I guess we're just rewriting The Crying Game.
All right. So The Crying Game refers to a pain-induced game played by children in the Amish community where they would take farm equipment and take turns hitting each other with it until one person cried and ultimately was declared the loser. They were subsequently shunned, and that was the foundation for The Crying Game.
Okay. So we're hitting each other with farm equipment.
Yep.
In Amish country.
Uh-huh.
I think the only genuine fact that I know about The Crying Game is that it has a plot twist at the end.
Yeah, it's like M. Night Shyamalan's The Village. They're not Amish after all.
What a twist.
Yeah, what a twist.
Like, I think, because I know, like, the only reason I know what it is at all, which is barely anything because I'm only pretty sure it's a movie.
No, I just told you what it was, Glenn.
Yeah.
You're really bad at lying.
So
why is it, okay,
I'm trying to remember what, like, I've heard it used as a punchline in reference to the plot twist, but I don't remember what the plot twist is. I think it might be the same as Sleepaway Camp, where someone you think is a woman is a man, or someone you think is a woman. Like, that's...
Yeah?
I think that's the big plot twist. But I like yours better.
In my mind, like, if we're going to throw away what I did because you didn't appreciate
no,
it...
No, I'm saying I like it more than...
But if we were throwing it away, okay. Like, in my mind, and I have no idea why, I've got nothing to back this up other than just, like, fragments of memory that, like, I don't think they go together, but, like, I thought of the movie and book Misery, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's where I think it's similar to that, but I think you're closer than that reaction. I don't know why I thought that.
Speaking of Misery, uh-huh. Because I saw the video shared out of context again today, there's a video of a woman flipping out in a Barnes & Noble at the cashier because
right.
they don't have the book that she wants,
yep.
but the book that she wants is by James Caan's character in the film Misery, and I know the book, but I don't remember his character name, but it's the author in Misery, and
right.
she is Kathy Bates, like, for a local theater production of Misery, and people are sharing it as like, look at this insane woman, how dare she treat this clerk this way, and not like they're just doing viral marketing for their
like an
local
intern was sitting
production.
Around going, you know, it'd be great for us to
yeah.
do this, but then they forgot the part where they need to plug their
right
show.
They're like, Janine, we'll go to Borders, and you just, and like, they were both people in the production, like, no one was getting
they went to Borders. This is an old video.
I don't know, I just,
yo, unpopular opinion, I don't know, I preferred Borders over Barnes and Noble. Back in the day, I was a Borders
opinion,
guy.
I genuinely couldn't tell you. If I was in one of them, couldn't tell you which one I was in. Now I could, because Borders isn't around anymore.
Right, now.
But, like, there was one or the other near my college that I would go to frequently, and I don't remember which one it was.
Huh. The Crying Game.
So the Crying Game. So we have some Amish kids...
Yeah, hitting each other with farm equipment.
Just really going to town on one another with, like, scythes.
Right.
But the blunt end.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing by the original rules, the blunt end. Every once in a while, if you're with a dick, like,
yeah.
there's a dick playing this
Somebody
game.
Somebody takes it too far.
Yeah,
that's...
they turn that pitchfork around, and then suddenly we're bleeding, and,
right.
like, it's a whole thing.
So our pitch... So since we're coming up with this thing whole cloth. So we're going in... to, let's say we get a general meeting,
right,
and they're like, boys, what do you got? We're like,
let's talk about the Crying Game.
We're gonna remake the Crying Game. Here's our pitch. So we all know
we open on a farm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is just starting to rise,
just like the original Crying Game,
right? There's a whole bunch of, like, idyllic shots of, like, you know, this beautiful farm and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the rooster's crowing and the cows are out in the field.
A barn? Oh, it's getting raised.
Oh, you see the silhouette of a dozen men working on the top of the hill, and they're raising a barn. And then we kind of pull back from that, and we open our opening scene with people. Well, our opening scene is in a kitchen. Like, we kind of pull back through the window,
mm-hmm.
And the mother is preparing breakfast.
Traditional Amish breakfast of...
Fatback and beans.
Yep. And probably a grit of
yeah.
some sort.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A grit bar if it's Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. I picture, like, a granola bar.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You mean, like... Like a fixin' station.
I mean a fixin' station filled with a variety of granola bars. Just,
well, but like made of grits.
Yes.
It would be bad. Like grits.
It's an acquired taste.
Is it? Or is it no taste?
Well, actually,
is
I'm glad...
Is it sloppy garbage?
I'm really glad you brought us down this path, Glenn, a potential producer, because that's actually the first 5 minutes of dialogue of this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, it's the mother... We're acting it out. The mother
yeah.
loves grits. Her children... Oh, they do not care for them.
Oh, no, not
oh, no,
at all.
No, no, mother. We do not like this sloppy garbage food. This is for animals. We're human children. and they flip the table. Right. She says, you get out of this house. And then they go and they meet up with their friends and they're like, well, we're bored and we're Amish.
And we're all riled up from telling our mother we're not animals.
Yeah, we just got in a big old fight with mom, so let's grab some farm equipment and start whacking at each other.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people would have thought there would have been like some sort of like accidental like thing that led them to the creation of this game, but there was intent from the moment. Like these are just ne'er-do-wells, right? Like if they're gonna go on Rumspringa and never come back, I think that's definitely clear. They went right for that farm equipment, those tools, those hand tools, and they just started beating mm-hmm. each other with it.
And it escalates from there, I think, that's how we build on this thing. So they're like, oh, all right, first one to cry, get shunned. But then there's a new kid.
Yeah, and he's wearing like a leather jacket.
Yeah,
he's a different town.
He's got all Amish stuff, yeah. But it's instead of black wool, leather. He's looking fresh.
Yeah, and he comes in on a bike.
Yeah.
Huffy. Comes in a red Huffy bike, and he kind of like skids out a little bit and lets the bike fall to the ground, and it was like, brethren.
And immediately what he does is he picks up, I don't know, enough farm equipment.
A hoe.
Thresher.
A thresher, okay. Great.
And just throws a kid into it.
Yeah. And that kid, in turn, picks up a sickle and, like, cuts the new kid in half. Like, it's just clean in half. He cuts him in half.
So, like, a psycho situation. Yeah. You think, oh, this story's going to be about this hip, leather-clad Amish
boy.
No, he's dead.
He's dead.
He's in
dead.
Half now.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, shit. What right. do? We can't. We're going to get in trouble.
So, the
classic movie story about right. children, the big fear is we're gonna get in trouble,
right? And so
they do this murder,
yeah, and the younger brother is like, don't worry about it, watch this, and he scoops out all the inside of the severed boy.
Sure, you gotta get them guts,
gotta get
out.
Those guts out. And then he hops into him and wears him like a Halloween costume, and he just assumes his life,
and then everyone starts crying. And they're like, what a great game.
Yeah, and then we see the sunset, because the end is always the beginning, right? And the mother's cleaning up the kitchen, and it just ends.
Perfect. Sold in the room?
Yeah, yeah. Two sequels, too. They just greenlit them blindly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, for the sake of maybe getting a real chance at winning this thing, the original Crying Game, which we just...
Remade
pretty much shot for shot, was 1976, directed by Brian De Palma.
I wish the face and shrug that you made. God, we should.
I'm just swinging for the fences here. I want some legit points.
Yeah, nominated for Best Picture, did not win.
No, did not win. It was a mistake.
Yeah,
there was a similarly titled film out that year called The Crying.
Plane,
and was about a sad airplane, because it was like, you know how Airplane was this raucous comedy? It was like that, but it was, instead of just constant one-liner jokes for an hour and a half, it was just people on a plane saying the saddest shit you've ever heard, and it was very good. So they meant to nominate that, but instead they nominated the Amish horror film The Crying Game, directed by Brian De Palma.
Well, I feel like the only other thing that might be on the Wikipedia page is that our friend Megan from Baltimore is a super fan, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's
all I got.
It's in there under, like, notable celebrity. Because sometimes if we looked up, like, Devil Sticks, right? If we did one on Devil Sticks, it would be, like, famous... Devil Stick artists.
Oh, Devil Stick artists. Yeah, I'm sorry. I did not mean to belittle the Devil Stick.
Megan is to the art of Devil Sticks as she is also to... She's very good at Devil Sticks.
Got it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also a big fan of The Crying Game.
All right. Anything to add before I actually pull this up and we see what this
fucking
thing is?
No, let's find out what the hell The Crying Game is.
All right. So let's pull up. Oh, before we do, reminder that this fantastically entertaining episode of the Improvised Wikipedia podcast is brought to you by fans.
Fans. Use blades to make areas of low and high air pressure move around.
Okay, so...
Improvised Wikipod for 40% off fans.
So we're sort of right in that we got that it was a movie.
We win. We did it.
The Crying Game is a 1992 English thriller film.
It's way off.
Written by Neil Jordan. The film explores themes of race, gender, nationality, and sexuality against the backdrop of the Troubles in North Ireland.
So pretty close.
Okay.
Pretty close to Amish kids beating each other up with farm equipment until one of them gets cut in half.
I'm just going to skip ahead, and if anybody's actually interested in reading, and watching this movie, go ahead, pause this podcast, come back to it, because I'm just going to straight up...
How dare you?
I'm going to just straight up read the plot.
We just... But how... Who do you think is listening to this at this point is like, well, I haven't seen it yet. I don't want anything ruined. What if we knew all about it? What if we were right?
Okay, let me defend my position here. We did such a shitty job hiding the fact that we don't have any fucking clue what this was about that I think that's a moot point, dude.
Spoiler alert, it's a real point of contention for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, go for it.
If it's a movie, you have opening weekend to have a reasonable expectation that people don't spoil it for you. If it's a TV show, you have the day after it airs. After that, everyone's free to talk about whatever they want. It's not everyone in the world's responsibility to not have you find out that Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
And also just a straight up creep.
Also, in real life, a Kaiser Soze.
All right.
Spoiler alert, Kevin Spacey sucks.
All right, here's the plot. At a fairground in rural Northern Ireland, provisional IRA volunteer Fergus and a unit of other IRA members, including a woman named Jude and led by Maguire, kidnap Jody, a black British soldier, after Jude lures him into a secluded area with the promise of sex. The IRA demands the release of the imprisoned IRA members, threatening to execute Jody in 3 days if their demands are not met. Fergus is tasked with guarding Jody and develops a bond with the prisoner, much to the chagrin of the other IRA men. During this time, Jody tells Fergus the story of the scorpion and the frog. There's more, but I don't... What's the story of the scorpion and the frog?
Okay. This one I actually know.
Yeah.
So there's a scorpion... who is walking along, and there's a river, and he's like, I gotta get over there. And then he sees a frog. He's like, frog, swim me across there. And he's like, no, you're a scorpion. You'll sting me, and I'll die. And he's like, why would I do that? We both have to get across that river. And the frog's like, all right, fair point. Hop on. I'll get you over there. And they get halfway across the river, and the scorpion stings the frog. And the frog's like, you just said you wouldn't, now we're both going to drown. And the scorpion's like, that's my whole deal. Sorry. And then they die.
I love that story.
It's touching.
Any story that ends with, and then they die, yeah. I'm on board with. Okay. Jody persuades Fergus to promise to seek out his girlfriend Dill in London should Jody be killed. The deadline set by Jody's captor passes, and with none of the IRA's demands being met, Jody is to be executed. When Fergus takes him into the woods to carry out the sentence, Jody makes a break for it. Fergus cannot bring himself to shoot, fleeing Jody in the back, but Jody is accidentally run over and killed by a British armored personnel carrier as they move in to assault the IRA safe house. With his IRA companions seemingly dead after the attack, Fergus flees to London, where he takes a job as a day laborer using the alias Jimmy. A few months later, Fergus finds Dill at a hair salon. Later, they talk in a bar where he sees her singing The Crying Game. Apparently, it's a song as well. There's a page for the song, too. I could click through to learn about that if you want, but it feels a little off. But it also could, I don't know.
This doesn't sound like a good movie. Ours sounds better.
I mean,
I would rather watch Amish kids beat the shit out of each other with hoes.
All right, well, hold on. We're only about halfway through here.
Oh, I thought that was the end.
No. Fergus
maybe
suffers.
It gets better.
Maybe it does. Maybe it does. Fergus Hit suffers me. From guilt about Jody's death and sees him in his dreams bowling a cricket ball to him. He pursues Dill, protecting her from an obsessive suitor and falling in love with her. Later, when he is about to make love to her in her apartment, he discovers that she is transgender. So you had that right, yeah. His initial reaction is of revulsion. Rushing to the bathroom to vomit, he accidentally hits Dill on the face. A few days later, he leaves her a note, and the two make up. Despite everything, Fergus is still attracted to Dill. Around the same time, Jude unexpectedly reappears in Fergus's apartment. She tells him that the IRA tried and convicted him in absentia, and she forces him to agree to help with a new mission to aid in assassinating a judge. She also mentions that she knows about Fergus and Dill, warning him that the IRA will kill her if Fergus does not cooperate. Okay. Fergus, unable to overcome his feelings for Dill, continues to woo her. To shield her from possible retribution, he gives her a haircut and menswear as a disguise. The night before the IRA mission is to be carried out, Dill gets heavily drunk and Fergus escorts her to her apartment, where she asks him to stay with her. Fergus complies and admits he has had an indirect hand in Jody's death. Dill, drunk, appears to not understand, but in the morning, before Fergus wakes up, Dill ties him to the bed. So, hey, misery. ties him to the bed. She unwittingly prevents Fergus from joining the other IRA members and completing the planned assassination. Holding Fergus at gunpoint, Dill forces him to tell her that he loves her and will never leave her. She unties him, saying that even if he is lying, it is nice to hear his words. Dill then breaks down in tears. Meanwhile, Jude and McGuire gun the judge down, but McGuire is shot to death by one of the bodyguards. A vengeful Jude entered Dill's flat with a gun, seeking to kill Fergus for the assassination. Dill takes several shots at Jude, hitting her, whilst stating that she is aware that Jude was complicit in Jody's death and that Jude used her sexuality to trick him. Dill finally kills Jude with a shot in the neck. She then points the gun at Fergus, but lowers her head, saying that she cannot kill him because Jody will not allow her to. Fergus prevents Dill from shooting herself and tells her to hide out in the club for a while. When she's gone, he wipes her fingerprints off the gun, replacing them with his own, and allows himself to be arrested in her place. A few months later, Dill visits Fergus in prison, where he is serving 6 years. After discussing his post-release plans, she asks why he took the fall for her, and he responds, "As a man once said, it's in my nature." He then tells her the story of the scorpion and the frog. And that's it.
That's a dense description.
Yeah.
I might have zoned out for a little bit.
Yeah. My favorite part was when you told me the story of the scorpion and the frog.
That is it, though. I wasn't making that up.
Yeah, no, I know. So it won an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay. It won a BAFTA Award for Best Film. It was, in fact, nominated for Best Picture.
So we got... We got that fact.
We got that right. Was nominated for a whole bunch of stuff. Won a bunch of stuff at various things.
I did not know what this is, but that's 1992 is a lot earlier than I would have assumed an Academy nominated film would feature a trans character as like a prominent figure.
Yeah. Well, we lost. We clearly lost. It wasn't even close.
No,
we lost from the get-go. We accepted a
didn't stand
topic
a chance.
Yeah, that we didn't know anything about. Doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't. You want to go watch The Crying Game?
Kind of.
I mean, I already know what happens. Why? You spoiled it for me. You should have said something before you read that.
Fuck you.
8-minute description of
fucking
a movie
you.
I'm never
going
to watch.
All right, we end every episode by coming up with a fake fact to leave on this page.
The song The Crying Game
is
inspired by a story of Amish kids beating the shit out of each other with farm equipment.
Yep, that's totally where Boy George got the inspiration from.
Is that a real thing?
I think
that's a real Boy George song?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Hold on.
Is it
soundtrack? Wait, The Crying Game, Boy George. Yep.
Is it like where Will Smith does a song for every movie he's in? Is the song that they sing about the movie the song is in?
I don't think so.
If it is, I'm on board with this 100%.
All right. Well, that ties us back up. Six wins for us. 6 wins for Wikipedia, and 2 ties. Yeah. Thanks for nothing, Megan.
Stupid Wikipedia.
Hey, subscribe and shit. Bye.
Yeah. Rent The Crying Game. rent. Go to Blockbuster and rent The Crying Game. I know my Blockbuster member ID number
yes.
to this day.
Okay, say it.
2345316347. Oh, yeah. We nasty.
We nasty.